Your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO. I'm Tim Fleming, and we have with us Chad Hansen from Corporate Farmer. Chad, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you on this cooler day, I guess?
Yeah.
Cooler, wetter. I tell you what, the crops look like they're growing like crazy, that's for sure.
All we had to do was throw high humidity and some heat and then give a little drink of some water. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the corn just shot out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, even in the last couple of weeks, how much things have changed, and everybody was antsy to get in the fields, and, man, it showed when most of the crops went in about a week's time, and then it wasn't but a couple of days, and it seemed like it was already popping out of the ground. So
yes.
It is going to continue to change, like you said, with these hot, humid days and plenty of moisture, it seems like, and good opportunities for anything green, that's for sure.
Boy, that is so true. You just drive them down the roads and take a look, and you can see the very pronounced rows that are there in the fields now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always an exciting time, I think. It's just neat to see all the changes between, you know, the fields, obviously, but also, you know, the trees and even the animals. We're kind of hitting a few graduations in the area over the weekend and saw a few baby fawns that couldn't have been more than a few days old, and, you know, see some of the other wildlife having their offspring here this time of the year. And so I always enjoy this time of the year, not only because it means tax season's over, but also just all the changes that we always kind of get in the springtime of the year.
So true. Absolutely so true. And yeah, right now, so what's got you busy this week in the office at Corporate Farmer?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that shifting of gears for everybody, right? School's out for summer and tax season's over, and you know, you're kind of starting to look ahead at this point in time as the crops are in. And so it's one of those deals where I think we're going to see a lot of early planning, just crop prices and scarcity of inputs and different things that we've talked about has kind of, I think, triggered everybody to kind of want to get ahead of the curve a little bit and start thinking about a lot of those things. And so, you know, the important stuff is right now for people to kind of get, I guess, their bookkeeping caught up. Oftentimes, you know, there's a little, like, sigh of relief after, you know, they get everything in for the end of the year, get their 1099s and W-2s and stuff like that out to those people and get their tax returns prepared that, you know, farmers kind of take a little bit of the foot off the gas pedal and maybe relax on the bookkeeping end of things. And obviously, you know, some of that's necessitated by, you know, all the work that goes in to getting the equipment ready for spring. And then, you know, like I said, especially that week window we had, I think everybody was going about a million miles an hour trying to kind of beat any of the weather that could happen so that they could get all the crops in and that kind of opportunity that they had. And so, you know, it's kind of that time to kind of take that deep breath again now and kind of get back into the office and start kind of working on getting things organized again. And so many times, you know, it's time to kind of start from the beginning of the year and start to put together those numbers so that we can kind of start to work a little bit on some end-of-the-year planning.
You know, and you know, like you say, it's natural probably for farmers to do that, maybe let up on the gas a little bit. But frankly, I was thinking as you were talking about that, I thought, you know, that's probably the case for a lot of us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
after going through that tax period where we're all gathering information, we're all putting it together, and we all make that same pledge, I'm going to be tracking this, I'm going to be doing this, I've got all the files set up, and then you realize, oh man, I let the foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we all are kind of probably, you know, similar in that, you know, deadlines kind of tend to kind of push our motivation and what our priorities are. And I think it's no different in this situation. So, you know, oftentimes we kind of let the other stuff go while we kind of prioritize what's most important or timely at the time. But then, you know, once we kind of get those priorities taken care of, it's kind of important to kind of settle back in. And with that, I think, you know, it's also that time of the year where people start to think of, you know, what do I need to keep and what do I need to, or can I guess, get rid of? And so a lot of times we kind of get those questions of, you know, how many years worth of stuff do I need to retain? And so it seems like an annual question from several that ask that. And so, you know, the important things to remember are that from an IRS audit, you know, they can go back 3 years to kind of look at your records and review those and make adjustments. So, you know, in a case like this time of the year, we've just finished, you know, filing for 2021, and that leaves open your 2020 and 2019 tax returns. So, you know, at a minimum, you're obviously going to want to have a full set of records for those 3 years. And by that, I mean, you know, copies of your bank statements. You're going to want to have, like, any 1099s that you received, W-2s that you received, any of those tax forms that you received. Now, the IRS is going to have that same information available because it's been filed with them as well. But, you know, given kind of their shortage of staff and things, typically they're going to ask for those types of documents from you just to make the process go a little bit quicker. On top of that, you know, any 1099s or W-2s that you sent out to kind of substantiate your expenses and make sure that you complied with those informational return rules is going to be important to keep, you know, in your file for that given tax year. Like I said, with the bank statements, more often than not, they're going to request that you have the 12 months of the year, whether that be a calendar year that most of us kind of operate under or a fiscal year if you have a separate entity. And then a lot of times, you know, in an audit, the IRS is going to ask for the month prior to the start of your tax year and the month following, and that's just to make sure that they kind of catch any maybe checks that hadn't cleared by the end of the year but were written in, say, December if you're on a calendar year, or any transactions that occurred, you know, kind of right there before to make sure that, you know, you weren't kind of pushing, I guess, some of those income or expenses one way or the other. And, you know, a couple questions that we usually get on something like that, too, is just, you know, like, when is it income, when is it expense? Well, you know, the vast majority of people that we work with operate under what's called cash accounting, and that just means that, you know, when you receive income, that's when it's accounted for, and when you write a check or, you know, pay a bill, that would be when that expense happens. And so, you know, I get a lot of people that say, well, you know, I wrote that check in December, but they didn't end up cashing it until later. You know, is that in the current year or in the past year? How do I account for that? And so as long as you would have written the check, say, I don't know, right before Christmas, we'll say, you know, you're settling things up and it was December 23rd that you issued it, but that person didn't get around to cashing it until the middle of January or something, that it still would be deductible for you in the year it was written, which would have been, you know, say in this situation, December of 2021. So you just need to make sure and get that into your records for that year. On the income side, you know, sometimes we have those people that like to kind of set the deposits off to the side, and maybe they've gotten a check from the elevator, and maybe that finds the bottom of the drawer and doesn't get pulled out until January of 2022. You know, they call that creative kind of tax planning in their minds, but, you know, from an actual, you know, standpoint of how that is considered by the IRS would call that constructive receipt, and that income was received and that check was made to you in December of 2021, and therefore should be included in your 2021 income. So, you know, that's another item that the IRS is going to scrutinize. They might want, you know, copies of some settlement sheets to show when that grain was delivered, and maybe even a copy of the check to see when it was issued to determine if, you know, you just kind of buried that and didn't want to include it until income to the next year. So it's important to, I guess, kind of know some of those rules and make sure that you handle those end-of-the-year items properly.
So it really wasn't creative tax planning.
Well, creative in their own minds, right? Isn't that how, you know, we all think we kind of have these tricks and things that we do and that nobody else has probably ever thought of them, including the IRS and including the lawmakers that kind of set some of those rules. And so, yeah, there's plenty of times I would say that, you know, our job, unfortunately, is just kind of setting the record straight and just reminding people of what the actual rules are so that they don't take the shortcut or make some of those mistakes that they'll, I guess, end up paying for sometime down the line.
Yeah, you know, and you just have to think it's you just have to know the rules, know the regulations, work with somebody like yourself, a corporate farmer, and stay on the same path.
Yeah, and I mean, on that front, we talk occasionally a little bit about audits and kind of what those situations are like. You know, it's been awkward and unique, I would say, as we've kind of fumbled a little bit through the whole COVID situation with the IRS. You know, we've talked a little bit in previous shows about just the fact that, you know, they're a little bit short on staff, which has kind of led to fewer audits. They've kind of been in the process of hiring additional staff, which means more training. So, you know, we did see a little spurt of you know, a handful of audits as they tried to, you know, work with new staff to kind of get them learning the process. And you know, then we're back to a situation where there's been some concerns about, you know, the fact that they're behind and need to get a lot of old returns processed. So we've seen kind of a shifting of the staff towards that problem and away from, you know, doing many audits. But, you know, it's just a matter of time before they kind of work through that backlog and then things get, I guess, what we've all expected, a little bit back to normal. And we always kind of, you know, ask that question is when is normal going to happen again and when things are going to get back to what we're kind of more accustomed to. And, you know, we're probably still a little bit away from that. And so it's kind of transitioned a little bit the process by which we kind of see these IRS audits kind of take shape. Used to be a lot of, like, face-to-face, sit down, want to come out, visit the farm, make sure that you've got a legitimate farm, where's the equipment at, you know, where are some of the farms, you know, kind of get a feel for the operation. And, you know, through COVID, obviously a lot of that stuff is not practical. The other side is, you know, as these kind of retirements and people have left the service and they've kind of dwindled in numbers, they've consolidated offices. So we've seen, you know, in my time, you know, we used to have several people here in Mason City as part of the IRS office that would handle this area. Well, that no longer exists. All those people have left and retired, and those responsibilities originally were kind of shifted to Des Moines, and that office handled it. Well, kind of as we've seen things change, that most of our kind of listening area has been pushed more towards Minnesota now for the servicing area, and so some of those agents have come out of that kind of Rochester, you know, closer to what would be the Minneapolis would be the main hub of that office, and so we've kind of seen that shift occur probably in the last about 5 or 6, 7 years, and so you know, those changes have kind of created a situation where there isn't the personal contact, which some people would say is great. You know, for me, I always thought that if you had somebody that was honest and had all their stuff, that it wasn't as big a deal to kind of understand that they're trying to do what they think is right and turn in the income and you know, only take expenses that, you know, were actually deductible. And so kind of having the agent see those things kind of may help your cause in some situations and give you a little bit of leeway if you kind of make maybe a minor mistake here or there or something. But, you know, now it's pretty much gone to a situation where all of these were handled, you know, over the phone and email and fax and those types of avenues. And so it doesn't have that kind of personal touch that the IRS kind of liked to have in the past. But also, you know, the agents try to take it as an opportunity to educate a little bit too and kind of help taxpayers realize things that maybe they didn't in the past. Maybe also let them know what compliance issues are going to be priorities going forward. So, you know, if you had somebody that was lax in sending out 1099s and didn't get them out to everybody that they really should have, you know, the agent would kind of walk them through what those requirements are and remind them of maybe some people that they kind of missed along the way. For us, you know, we try and have those same conversations, but sometimes it kind of ends up on deaf ears, if you want to say that, that they kind of, you know, say, well, it hasn't ever been an issue up to this point in time. I'm not going to worry about getting their Social Security number or getting that taken care of. And then when you kind of hear it from the government, sometimes that's a little bit different as far as that motivation level and getting that done. So, but like I said, I think the biggest thing that that we've seen is just that shift from kind of that more personal situation to, you know, just kind of walking through the steps and getting the information so that it can be reviewed and then a kind of determination made. And I'll be honest, I think that the days of kind of walking that back to the way it used to be are probably over, just because of limited staffing and wanting to kind of, you know, stay on a certain schedule with it and not spend the resources to make those visits. And then on top of that, the fact that, you know, we don't have some of those offices as close as they used to be, where it was a little more convenient to kind of go out and do those on-site visits. So, you know, it's kind of like everything else with this whole pandemic, is I think it sped up the process of some things that were happening. And, you know, some of that is less travel and less of that personal contact and more towards, you know, using resources like your Zoom and you know, like I said, the electronic means of getting information between people. And so I see that as being kind of the way of the future when it comes to dealing with the government and the IRS and some of these audit procedures.
No question about it. Yeah, technology is an amazing thing. And for those people that are hesitant about it, certainly people that you deal with, Chad, your staff can walk them right through it and get them accustomed to everything they need to with Corporate Farmer. And how do they get in touch and get started with Corporate Farmer?
It's super easy. Just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
You bet. Chad, great to talk to you today. Enjoy the end of May and beginning of June.
Thank you very much, Tim. You too.
Take care. It's Chad Hansen with us, everybody, from Corporate Farmer. That's our program for this week on AM 1300. KGLO Mason City, and KGLOAM.com.